Hello, everyone. Welcome back to, I would not say very special, I would say moderately okay, episode of Uncanny Treks. We're here to talk about episode 9 and episode 10 of the 2023 Superman show. We are wrapping up our coverage of the 2023 Superman show season 2. I guess we'll probably be back for season 3. Yay.
Yeah, we will, Bob. What other Superman show are we going to watch?
Maybe we'll be really busy when season 3 drops and we just won't be able to find time to cover it.
Oh, that might be nice. Maybe there'll be more Shrek on the way.
Yeah, or maybe we'll just do one of these things like we're going to do with the Batman and like we just did with Prodigy where we just talk about it in one episode. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a whole season recap may be better for this type of show, especially since it's only 10 episodes. As we get into these episodes, you're going to realize some of this is just, there's not much to it, especially in episode 9, Bob. I mean, that's why we didn't cover it last week.
Would you agree with my statement that while season 2 is slightly better than season 1, there's actually less for us to say?
Yeah, it's more paint by number, some of the stuff. And you've got the villain's better. Brainiac is a villain is awesome.
Brainiac's a better villain, and he's handled better. But then you just have, I mean, honestly, the show, as I was looking at the serialized reviews of it, and a lot of them were saying, although the overwhelming amount of the reviews on serialized are positive for this show, but a lot of them were saying it was paint by numbers plotting, which, yeah, I wouldn't ding it so hard for that, but it is. But
Bob. I ding it for that. Because every time we cover this, I can tell you what's going to happen in the next episode, because it's so just la, la, la. It just follows a pattern, which comic books do, though. So.
And it's very manga formulaic in its way, too, with the power-up scenes. And believe in yourself and human connection stuff. Even I, who don't really watch... Sorry, I said manga. I should have said anime. But even I, who don't watch anime, can track that, right?
Right, yeah. It's just not the animation we're used to.
But for me, our main value add here is we can spot references. And though there have been some interesting references in season 2, there just haven't been that many.
Yeah, not as many. Season 1 was filled with more Easter eggs, a lot more Easter eggs in this season.
And other than Brainiac, there haven't been new villains. They're very satisfied with the villains they introduced in season 1, and they just keep reusing them while not adding any more depth to them.
They just keep getting recycled and showing up, and you have to be like, have I seen this guy or not? Have I seen this one with the really big muscles? No. Have I seen this one with the head that's on fire?
Let's get into it. So, episode 9, Matt, the first thing I want to talk about, speaking of references, do you remember what the Sun Eater is?
Yeah, it's like a thing that Superman, this creature that Superman keeps in his Fortress of Solitude that feeds on suns. And it's from All-Star Superman, right?
Not originally, but yeah, it is in All-Star Superman. No. And then, do you know where else we've seen it?
It's Legion of Superheroes.
The season 1 finale of Legion of Superheroes is an adaptation of a 1960s Legion comic, which I'm pretty sure is where the Sun Eater was introduced. But then, yeah, it's also shown up in Superman lore, like you said, in All-Star. I've totally forgotten the context of this list that I wrote down in last week during episode 9, but I think I was just trying to identify all the Walls Hench guys.
Yeah, all the randos that show up, they just show up. There's lots of Metallos.
And then we see the Damage guy again, who I think we talked about in season 1.
Yeah.
And I think doesn't really correspond to any other Damages, but maybe I'm wrong about that. And then we see Atomic Skull, who is whatever. He's Atomic Skull. And then we see my favorite, my just favorite character of all time. I love to see him, Deathstroke, man.
Oh, yeah, Deathstroke here. And by the end of this season, Bob, I'm thinking Deathstroke is probably just going to be Lex Luthor's bodyguard.
Which was weird. I mean, that's jumping ahead, but who cares? But weren't they earlier in season 2, weren't they playing up real antagonism between Deathstroke and Luthor?
Yeah. So now they're buddies.
They're just turning on a dime for no reason.
Because they're young.
Since they're all kind of angsty millennials in an anime, it does make sense for them to have big emotional and personal turns. Just more foreshadowing.
That's what they're going for here, Bob.
Yeah, well, I guess the only other two things I had to say about episode 9, Matt, which is why we didn't originally record an episode on episode 9, was I did like the black and white Phantom Zone effect of Brainiac getting kicked out of Superman's body. I thought that was cool. And then, as you already alluded to, you were right about the pacing of the last couple episodes. I was wrong. I thought they might follow the rhythm they established in season 1. And in some ways they did, but in the major ways they didn't. So once again, Matt, you were right.
I was saying, about this episode literally was just Lois, like, in Superman's head trying to get him back into, like, himself. And we knew, I just wish they wouldn't have spent the whole time doing that. There's just so much more they could have done.
Didn't they do some other stuff?
He got a new costume at the end. That was really about it, which I'm going to talk to you about now. So we got this new costume at the end, It has that single finger hook thing coming from the sleeve that I just think
New 52, right?
Yeah, no, I don't know if it was there. It's just weird looking.
I think that was New 52, but maybe I'm wrong.
It reminds me of girls from the 80s and their dresses. I mean, that's what it is. It's the same. They have these long sleeve dresses that have those things. It's strange.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I was surprised that the relative number of reviews on Serialized that say that Clark Kent in the show reads as F to M trans, a trans man, which I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't spot that, but I guess I could see why you would say that.
Yeah, I could see. And then they drop the red tights, of course, and they put a yellow outline around the S symbol on his chest, which, I mean, doesn't change much. It just makes it stand out a little more.
Purist about the tights? I can't say that I like the yellow S belt buckle, although maybe I guess the thinking is you need some coloration to break up. You can't just have the solid blue. I mean, I would be fine with the solid blue, but maybe design principles would tell you you just can't have the solid blue in the middle section.
Yeah. So I don't mind the yellow so much. I'm like you. I don't really have a huge opinion on the red tights, even though I do like the way they look in the new gun movie. They went back to them and it looks, I don't have an issue with it. I think it looks pretty good. But Supergirl's costume in the next episode, when she gets her costume, it follows the exact same design. So we see the same design elements in that outfit, which I guess that's what they're going for next season.
Do you like this costume? Dislike this costume?
I'm on the fence about it. It's not awful, but it's not like something I'm excited about. I don't know. I didn't think a change was necessary.
Granted, if they radically changed the suit, probably I would be here complaining about they radically changed the suit. But if you are going to change the suit, change the suit. This is so similar. I mean, it's different, but it's still so similar to the original.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had to look at it for a minute to make sure it was different. I'm like, okay, something's off. Oh, okay. He's got a new outfit when he separated from Brainiac. Took a second.
Like, I'm slightly negative on it, but only slightly. I'm not real spun up about it. I barely noticed that it changed in watching the episode, but it didn't matter to me much. And then I was kind of surprised that in a terrible Facebook group I'm in, which is mostly just evolved to Snyder bros and gun bros arguing and both mistaking me for being the other when I don't care. I could not care less. They're both worse, to quote another Man of Steel. But they, like, some people, and I couldn't track if they were Snyder bros or gun bros or neither, but some people were saying that this suit was ruined the show. They hate the show now. Which seemed a little traumatic.
That's what's going to kill this show. It's the nail in the coffin right there, this suit.
Yeah, because there's plenty of things to dislike about the show already, but also if you like the show, even if you don't like the costume, it's like you were saying, it's not that big a shift, right?
No, it's really not.
To go ahead to episode 10, Matt, I wanted to begin with the thing I hated the most, which is I hate this version of Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor is not a coward. He's a terrible person, but he's not a coward. And him just being this whiny millennial just to Waller, it sucks so hard. It's disgusting. That's the thing I hate the most about this show, is that it just wastes all these villains. I don't like how frantic and middle schoolish Jimmy, Lois, and Clark seem, but I can get over that. But Lex Luthor and Silver Banshee and The Mist, they take these great characters and they just reimagine them in the worst ways, and they do nothing interesting with them, and it makes me angry.
Yeah, Luthor's been very forgettable this season.
Which clearly they're building up to him as the big bad in season 3, but you can't tell me that even people who like the show are excited about, like, developments with this Luthor. I don't believe that.
Well, the other thing in that scene, too, where we do see Luthor walk away from everything, we see Waller go straight into battle with her pistol. To me, I don't know if Waller's going to be that hard.
I'll just go ahead and bring this up here since it relates to Waller. So somebody was saying that the bad guys in Steel who are helping out during the Brainiac invasion, one of them, I can't remember if it was Livewire or Steel, references the main man, which my first thought was, ew, gross, Lobo. But were they talking about Sam Lane?
Probably, Bob, because I didn't get your Lobo reference in the notes.
I've already forgotten who said it, but when the group of villains in Steel were talking to Superman during the assault, they were like, oh yeah, the main man is here too. I guess they meant General Lane.
Yeah.
Also, did I miss something? Why is the army listening to General Lane? Isn't he a fugitive on the run?
But we got to get all the characters from the whole season involved. Everybody's got to show up at the end. That's how anime works.
Not somebody who cares about plot holes. I really don't.
We have
this
to.
This show has me caring about plot holes.
We have to get all the characters on the stage for the final act.
On a happier subject, Did you get vague Engine City vibes, given that we have the aliens remaking Metropolis and we have Steel there and then we have Henshaw involved? And I assume we'll see in season 3 some leftover Brainiac machinery turned Henshaw into Cyborg Superman.
Yeah, I can't hear the name Hank or Still and not think of Engine City, Bob, you know, formerly Coast City. Just, it was a sad time, Bob, when that city went down.
It was America's 9/11 in, like, 1993.
Yeah, it was rough. Dalton.
Oh, man. So, another thing I want to complain about, the minor detail, why would kryptonite affect Kryptonian technology? That makes no sense. Granted, nothing ever makes sense in superheroes, but in the mythos, it makes sense that, okay, it affects Kryptonians, but why would kryptonite also screw with Brainiac? Speaking of the reign of Superman, Matt, what did you think about the Eradicator reference we're giving?
Bob, so Eradicator is essentially the programming that was used to make Supergirl destroy planets for him. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. I like it. It turned Supergirl into the Eradicator, so we had the Eradicator Still and Cyborg.
We sort of have, an Eradicator Supergirl outfit, although mostly it's just her with red eyes and that same costume that she was in. Well, and I don't think the Eradicator is any great concept. If there's anything from the Superman mythos, I'm cool with a show or a movie reimagining it. Certainly the Eradicator, right? He's not that cool.
He's really not.
But it does fit into my complaint about this season of they're just burning through so many concepts from the mythos, I think, to no good end. I feel this was sort of a waste of the Black Mercy compared to the Black Mercy's more traditional use. They're using the Eradicator. They, like, have Black Zero instead of Black Zero being another villain or a cool concept. It's just like a self-destruct mode for Brainiac's thing. So, I don't know. I just feel they're burning through too much. And when they're using it, they're not using it well, which was the main difference, I think, between this and X-Men 97.
So Black Zero, Bob, that was the organization that was responsible for destroying Krypton, right? Or something like that?
In some versions, maybe. Usually they're the terrorist organization on Krypton. They're pretty prominent in that Krypton TV show. And then do you remember the animated movie we were watching where they showed up?
Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes.
That one also linked Black Zero to Brainiac, which is not something I think the comics usually do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd only heard of them recently, to be honest. I didn't really remember them too much.
It's not like they're the greatest thing in the universe, but it annoys me, the throwaway reference for nothing very special.
As the show goes on, though, Bob, especially this specific episode, we get so many times where we think Supergirl is going to die.
It's at least 3 or 4 fakeouts on her dying this episode.
Yeah, I wrote her off after the first one, and then there she is again. The way they bring her back is so lame, Bob. The hugging part, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
if you've watched the show, this is just not my cup of tea.
At least glad, because I was getting really angry when they were dying of kryptonite poisoning and falling into the sun. That makes no sense. The sun is the source of their powers. Superman lives in the sun for millennia after All-Star Superman.
Yeah.
That would heal them. And then they went there and it healed them. I was like, oh, that's good. Something else I blame Crisis on Infinite Earths for, right, is Crisis on Infinite Earths is a terrible comic. It had terrible repercussions on DC. It's just a really bad comic. And one of the worst things about it is it's so strongly associated Kara Zor-El with dying that now every time Supergirl shows up, you have to play with that idea thanks to that terrible comic Crisis. It makes me very sad.
That is really sad. Speaking of which, Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2 is on Max now.
And Part 3 is out now, right?
Yeah.
But it's not on Max. Only Part 2 is on Max.
Only Part 2 is on Max, yeah.
The reactions I'm seeing in the Facebook groups are pretty negative. People are mostly not digging.
The only reason I want to see the third part is due to Kevin Conroy's. It's his last stint as Batman.
Somebody put out a clickbait video, and it actually did work on me. I watched it, and it's the first and the last lines that Kevin Conroy says as Batman, which were nice. First lines from the animated series in 92. And the last one, from what I guess is the end of Crisis Part 3.
I'm just glad originally they thought that his last lines were recorded for that Suicide Squad game, and that game sucked. Bob, we end this episode with some really just strange scenes. And we're going to talk about two of those scenes. One of them first is when all of the characters get on the roof of the Daily Planet and eat soup together.
Oh, I thought they were having a cookout at the Kent's farm.
No, they did. They had a cookout at the Kent's farm as well, Bob. There were two scenes at the end.
Oh, so you mean like the very, very last scene with the where like Lois, Jimmy, Clark, and Kara are on the roof.
That was at the very end of this episode. The barbecue did happen before that, and we are going to talk about that too. But it was just so weird. There were, on top of the many deaths of Kara, there were also way too many endings to this episode where they could have just cut it off.
Yeah. Well, my problem with the barbecue is it's just like, doesn't it just blow the secret identity? You have this new girl who looks exactly like Supergirl, who has the same face scar as Supergirl, who's hanging out with Clark, who already looks a lot like Superman, with his parents. And also, how did everybody get to Smallville? Is it Metropolis in Delaware and Smallville's in Kansas?
Yeah, this is the most unrealistic thing in the show, Bob, because people don't hang out anymore like that anymore to begin with.
Nah, Matt, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. You live in suburban alienation. Isolation, dog. That's not how...
Well...
Up here in real America, we live close to each other. We still have social functions. You live in isolated, red, suburban... And it's warped your sense of human society.
We're just afraid
all
of everybody. We're afraid of everybody.
The computer, Matt. All you've got is
yeah,
the computer.
We're afraid of everyone. But people don't hang out anymore. Your coworkers are not, like you said, or they're not going to drive to your parents' house in a different state for a barbecue.
No, people still hang out, but you're right that they're not going to do.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a wedding or anything either. It's just them having dinner or something. I don't know what they're doing.
Or maybe he's outed himself as Superman to the entire Daily Planet of Death, and he flies Steve and Perry to his parents' house.
Why was the final part of this written like the epilogue of Terminator 2?
I don't remember how Terminator 2 ends.
It's just like very serious music with very serious tone afterward that just went to, it was just too serious for what was going on the screen.
I did think it was a good point, and it almost felt like the show making fun of itself a little about like Superman just telling Lois, he's like, well, I'm Superman. I can traverse the globe in seconds. I'll come visit you whenever I can in Gotham. And it was commuting really, long distance relationship really wouldn't be a problem for these two, would it?
She's going to take that job in Gotham, and she says it's a 5-minute flight for Superman. And she's like, no,
yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Not even that. I mean, in some versions, I don't think in this universe, but in some versions, you know, it's literally Gotham and Metropolis are just across a bay from each other.
She says, I don't want to be Vicki Vale, the next Vicki Vale. I want to be Lois Lane.
I will say the strangest thing, I'm in the very late 80s of Spider-Man comics right now, and the number of times that people fly from New York to parts of Pennsylvania in that comic, it's just right there, dog. It can't be more than a 4-hour drive. What are you doing? Why are you flying?
You take a train.
This is America, Matt. We don't have trains because that's communism. My verdict on this season and this show, though, season 2 is better than season 1 because it has a better overarching story, but it hasn't really expanded its character roster other than Supergirl in an interesting way. And it still has most of the problems I would ascribe to season 1.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing, Bob. I think this season was stronger just due to the villain. And I think season 3 is going to be either what causes us to continue covering this, or we're just going to give up on it. I can tell you that right now. Something's going to happen in season 3 that's going to be our breaking point.
Yeah.
Because we were pretty close in this season.
That's my hope, is it'll just overlap with something else, and we'll be like, oh, well, we can't cover it.
We did manage to make it through 10 episodes, Bob. So
I do wonder, and I would be curious from feedback from listeners about this on Twitter, but given that we don't care about this show and that we pay less attention to it and do less work and record quicker and have looser conversations, does that make the show better or worse? Podcast, does that make it better or worse? I don't know.
Do you like Uncanny Tricks better when we don't have as much to talk about the show in depth and we just kind of like play off each other and have these shorter episodes? Or do you like it when we've done our actual research and thought things through and are more informative?
If the answer is do more work, well, then sorry, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. Super.
Bob's putting in the required 30 minutes. It's Bob, hopefully season 3 is better, maybe, but I'm telling you, I'm really thinking we're going to hit something we're not going to like. And I'm going to go ahead and guess what it's going to be. It's going to be something to do with Luther. I'm pretty sure they're going to do something terrible with Luther, and it's just going to make you turn it off.
Yeah, and it also looks like we're only going to get more Deathstroke as we keep going. That's not good for old Bob's morale.
No, not at all.
And Lobo hasn't shown up on this show yet, has he? I'm calling it Lobo in season 3. Season 3 move Lobo.
Lobo in season 3?
Yep, I'm calling it.
Hmm.
mean, just for like an episode. It's not like he's going to be the big bad, but
yeah, I could see that happening.
They'll probably bring him back for the finale too, just like they had to bring back every forgiving villain. I can't believe like how bad The Mist is in this show. The villain in one of the best DC comics of all time, and then he's just generic ginger number two. Shit. Why? Just call him something else, for Christ's sake.
Poor Bob, you're the only person in the whole world that's upset about them.
Granted, we're a minority, but I've seen other people be annoyed about The Mist on Facebook. Yeah. I'm talking three more people at maximum, but still.
I'm sorry they butchered your character, Bob.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Right. Well, this has been Uncanny Tracks covers of Superman 2023, season two, the last two episodes. We'll see you next year. Although, why do you just listen to us for Superman coverage? Maybe, like, come and listen to us cover Fantastic Four or X-Men or, you know, anything else.
For clarity, Bob said Superman 2023, but this is technically, this is the Superman 2024. Are we calling it
that? The year? Oh, is it X-Men 95?
So we're going to do that. We're going to do that with everything now. I just want to make it clear. We're going to do that with everything. Bob 85.
What else can you do when there's more than one super? Should I just guess which Spider-Man cartoon you're talking about? If there's no adjective, you need to put a...
Bob, I already saw this for us. I already saw it. We call it Malls. It's not that difficult.
No, nobody knows what that is. It's not going to happen. Stop trying to make it. And it's
Malls will happen. Guaranteed to come from Uncanny Tricks.
See, this goes back to our debate about the Spider-Man movies. You refuse to admit, unlike our future president, Kamala Harris, you refuse to admit that we exist in a context, Matt. And what you call a Spider-Man movie or a Superman show is influenced by the context of all the other Superman and Spider-Man content around them.
So what if two Superman cartoons came out the same year? Would that mess things up for you?
I mean, that would be a real failure of DC branding. Yep. Something that hasn't happened. When we get to that bridge, Matt, I'll let you know what my opinion is on it.
That would be an overly saturated market, is what that would be.
Yeah, yeah. Also, do you really want me to call this My Adventures with Superman? So good.
Bob. Well, I want you to call it Malls. That's all I want. I didn't say, you don't have to say the whole thing, just Malls.
No, it's Superman 2023, season two, the last two.
No. Thanks for listening.